This is the NC State Tripartisan Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now here's your host for the NC State Tripartisan Podcast from InsidePacSports.com, James Henderson.
Welcome back to the Tripartisan NC State Podcast. And today we're going to talk about a lot of things. Obviously, NC State's upcoming matchup against Clemson. Not sure we need to spend a ton of time on that one. The Wolfpack's loss at Wake Forest and the start of the 2019-2020 basketball season for NC State. An 82-81 overtime loss at home to Georgia Tech. And look, that's a lot of bad news, it sounds like. I mean, things really aren't going great for NC State right now. Football and now even basketball. And let's start though with football. Look back at this loss at Wake Forest. NC State lost the game 44-10. You know, I thought that was a game that just kind of got away from NC State early on. I mean, State wasn't able to really, follow the formula we've talked about in recent podcasts that they need to do on the football field to be successful, and that's build a lead and allow their defense to be a factor. And when you're trying to break in a new quarterback, which they were again with Devin Leary making his first career start, you can't put a ton on his shoulders. And by the second time he touches the football, NC State's trailing 14-0. And now that he's in almost panic mode, feeling like he has to try and do a bunch of things to come back and win this game, it just wasn't the right setup for NC State. And you're playing a Wake team that's playing with a lot of confidence right now. And I think this is an example of where the two programs differ at this point. I mean, you look at Wake Forest in this game against NC State offensively, and Wake was starting 7 seniors and 2 juniors, offensively. 7 seniors and 2 juniors. NC State was starting 0 seniors and 3 juniors. Four juniors. That's just where the program is. I mean, this team is really, really young. A lot of new parts offensively and defensively, a lot of the same things. I looked out there at one point defensively, and we talked about it the previous podcast. I mean, State had 9 freshmen on the field in the second quarter. I mean, that's very few teams are going to be successful having to play 9 freshmen. And so it's just where you are. It was a tough game, but Wake being ranked right now, very experienced team, very good team. They've done a good job to build that team up to where they are. I mean, the previous 2 seasons, they struggled to, you know, I mean, last year they barely made a bowl, and this year they're in contention to compete for maybe going to an Orange Bowl with the ACC being down to where it is. And so credit them for taking advantage of it. I mean, it's not a ton to look back on from that game. You know, obviously we talked about, the Devin Leary making his first start, and I mean, he did some good things. There were some, you know, made some good throws. That's what you kind of want to look for from him. He didn't make the progressions you hoped he would make, coming out of a bye week. And so I think the jury's still out on him. I think he has to find a way to play better. You look at his numbers. I mean, his numbers were not good at all. I mean, he played every snap. NC State didn't go in a different direction at quarterback. He was 17 of 45. 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. The 1 touchdown was a pass to Kerry Angeline in the red zone. I think it's concerning that NC State only made 1 red zone trip. And I think they need to find a way to, get more productive offensively. There's just no other way around it. It's going to be tough this week against Clemson, but there's 3 games on the back end of the schedule that are much more winnable. And I think they'd have a chance to find a way to win that game. Let's go to Clemson. NC State will host Clemson this weekend, 7:30 in Carter-Finley Stadium Saturday night. And we know what to expect. I mean, Clemson right now is, in my opinion, probably the second or third best team in the country. But they're in the mix to win the national championship like they have been in recent years, undefeated. Come to Raleigh, seems to be fairly healthy. I mean, I don't know of any of their main guys who will be out of this game. And so it's going to be a tough task for NC State to find a way to win that game. I think Clemson is clicking, and I've talked about it before. I know on our website, InsidePacSports.com, that when you're playing a team like Clemson, you need to hope you get their C or D game. I mean, that's just the way it is. And rarely do you get it as a team. I think North Carolina got it about a month ago when Clemson went to Carolina and played in Chapel Hill. I mean, Clemson just was flat, you know, didn't have the aggression they normally have, committing penalties. I mean, that it happens to them maybe 2-3 times a year where you get that C or D game from them, and that opens a window for you to beat them or possibly upset them. If you can play your A game while they're playing their C, D game, that gives you a shot. But if they play their A game, it's just going to be tough for anybody to beat them, especially in the ACC right now. I mean, I think Wake's the only other ranked team, and I think that's even a little – I mean, Wake's a good team, but, I mean, they're still a team that they haven't beat a ranked team this year. Clemson might be the only ranked team they face. So, you know, you credit them for beating their schedule. But even if you look back at NC State the previous 2 years, I mean, State beat three ranked teams the last two seasons. So, I mean, and while facing Clemson and not beating them, they played Notre Dame in 2017, didn't beat them. So they faced a ton of ranked teams. And so I think this year for Wake, the schedule just sets up really nicely. And really it's probably just them and Clemson right now in terms of potential ranked teams in the ACC. And so the road for Clemson looks pretty wide open to get back to the college football playoff. And that's tough for NC State because Clemson will be motivated coming into this game. And with State, you know, still looking for any sort of continuity offensively, I'm sure Clemson's going to come to Raleigh smelling, you know, blood in the water and understanding that this is a game that's going to be one that they could try and jump on State early and take any sort of potential momentum out of the game. And I expect Clemson to come in focused on NC State. I don't think they're going to look past NC State. This has been a game the last 3 years that Clemson is really focused on in their season. You know, you go to 2016, State got, like I told you guys before, I mean, State got a C game from Clemson in 2016 in Death Valley, where Clemson turned the ball over, I believe it was four times, several times in the red zone, had some penalties. I mean, just didn't play great. And it opened the door for NC State to win that game. Now, will this happen again this week? I doubt it. I mean, it's hard to predict that, but I think that's what NC State needs to have happen if they're going to find a way to shock the world, so to speak, which this game certainly would be. I mean, I think for me, for NC State, your hope is you get out of this game as healthy or as healthy as you were going into it. And that's not to say you don't try to win the Clemson game, but we've talked about it before. I mean, this schedule was backloaded for NC State with potentially winnable games. I mean, you look at Louisville, after Clemson, Louisville, Georgia Tech, North Carolina. I mean, Georgia Tech's not going to bowl. North Carolina's fighting to try and make a bowl. Louisville is trying to make a bowl. And so those three programs were always games especially when you look at where they were last year, that NC State fans had to look at as potential wins on the schedule. And so you can't let Clemson beat you twice. I mean, I know it sounds like a cliche, but that's generally the way it works. I mean, you got to find a way to, make it out of that game relatively healthy so you can be ready for that final stretch of games where State will maybe need to win two out of three to reach a bowl this year. And so I think you're going to see State compete against Clemson. I mean, for whatever it's worth, right now NC State is 4-0 at home this year. May not feel like it given the status of their season, but this schedule's been really front-loaded with a lot of road games. And so – you know, this is where State's at right now. I mean, they have a chance to pull off an upset, but more than anything else, I think they need to try and compete, show progress, and build any sort of confidence to go and for those final three games, even if you can compete against Clemson and put that game, I mean, put yourselves in a position to maybe win that game in the fourth quarter. That should give you some confidence going to play Louisville at home the following week. And then obviously the rest of the final two games on the schedule. So football wise, I mean, this is going to be a tough one. This is going to be a tough week for NC State Saturday night in Carter-Finley Stadium. But who knows? You know, I one of my favorite stories I always tell people is my first game at NC State as a student was, NC State against Florida State. And that Florida State team was peak Bobby Bowden Florida State. Chris Winkie, Peter Warrick, those guys, and NC State found a way to win 24-7 with Torrey Holt leading the way. Now, you don't have Torrey Holt here this year, but we've seen State over the years find a way to upset teams, whether it's a Florida State or even a Clemson. You look back 5 or 6 years ago with Taj Boyd coming to Raleigh, NC State winning that game. So you never know. I mean, that's the reason they play the game, but I think we all expect it to be a tough one for NC State to try and win against a Clemson team that's really humming right now. Let's turn our attention to basketball. NC State opened the season with an ACC game for the first time. Opened the season with an ACC game against Georgia Tech in PNC Arena. And a lot to take away from this game. You know, first of all, we knew DJ Funderburk would not be playing in this game. And so, you know, State was going to be behind a little bit from that standpoint. But then you go and you don't have Markel Johnson in the season opener. NC State's best player, preseason All-ACC player, rolled his ankle a few days ago, couldn't make it out, couldn't play. I mean, he was on the sideline, I didn't see him with a boot on. He seemed to be walking okay, so – I mean, I know Kevin Keats said after the game that the expectation is that Markel would be back relatively soon. But you need him for this type of game and didn't have him. I mean, so NC State was really shorthanded. You know, obviously Blake Harris left a couple weeks back. So you lost your backup point guard. So you were essentially having to play, you know, CJ Bryce and Braxton Beverly as your primary ball handlers. And I thought State started really well. I mean, it came in very prepared for Georgia Tech's zone, essentially shot Georgia Tech out of the zone. The Tech played man the most of the game because of it. And I thought that was a smart move by Georgia Tech with NC State not having Markel Johnson. I mean, Johnson can just carve you up at times offensively facing man with the way they can run high ball screens and different things like that. But I think this game was really a tale of two halves for NC State. You know, in the first half, State was clicking for the first 15 minutes of that game. I thought State lost this game. Probably the last 5 minutes of the first half. I mean, this was a game where State had jumped out to a big lead. I mean, State was up. You know, State was up. I think it's 16 at one point in the first half, and just really, like, offensively, you hate to use the term hero ball, but without Johnson out there to run the show, I thought C.J. Bryce, Devin Daniels, and Jericho Helms had a string of back-to-back possessions where they took some quick shots and really kind of allowed Georgia Tech to get back in the game. Georgia Tech was doing a great job of running after misses by NC State, so Tech was running out, getting breakaway layups and different things like that because – They were doing a good job on the defensive glass. The State was taking quick shots. They were not making Georgia Tech work defensively. And it allowed Tech to really close that gap quickly. I think they got it to seven right before half or at halftime. I mean, they cut it down from a really big lead. I mean, I think State, you know, I mean, their largest lead, I believe, was 15 at one point. So State, you know, State had a chance here to kind of really win a big game. Now I don't know how bad I wouldn't label this a bad loss just yet. I know Georgia Tech has not been good under Josh Pastner or even previously in previous years prior to Josh Pastner, but this was Georgia Tech's an experienced team. I mean, their top four guys, Jose Alvarado, James Banks, Moses Wright, and Michael DeVoe. I mean, They played a lot of basketball for Georgia Tech last year. I think they're all four quality ACC level players, Banks and Alvarado in particular. And so for State to lose this game 82-81, I mean, that's a tough way to start the year, but you got to keep it in perspective. Maybe I do that more than others. But playing this game without Markel Johnson and DJ Funderburk, you know, it wasn't going to be easy. I mean, it wasn't going to be one you should walk out there and just roll the ball out and win it relatively easy. I mean, it was going to be a competitive tight contest. And I thought the difference was down the stretch in the first half, in the second half, and even in overtime, Georgia Tech just found a way to make more plays. Their experienced guys did. I mean, they were able to really close the lead. I mean, never led in prior to overtime, which is a crazy stat. I mean, they never led. They were able to tie it right there in the last minute and a half or so and make it to overtime. And then they finally took a lead for the first time at the start of overtime. But, I mean, I think State, you look at the numbers, Georgia Tech shot 50% from the field. NC State shot 38%. State shot 44% from three, but they only took 16 threes. I mean, this was a game where their guards were getting into the paint and trying to take contested shots. Against Georgia Tech and Tech, finished with, 8 blocks in the game, had 9 steals. So State just really, I thought didn't do a good job of getting into the paint, finding shooters on a consistent basis. Credit Tech for switching to man. I think that was a smart move without Markel Johnson. Put pressure on NC State's guards to make plays off the dribble versus moving the ball against zone. Really smart move by Georgia Tech. And look, I'm not saying that is in a way that State couldn't have countered it or that it just worked. I mean, I just think that's something you should do if you're Georgia Tech. Even if you're primarily a zone team, but you play some man, if you're playing a team without their point guard, put them in positions where they got to have guys make plays and not let them just run, zone beaters and different things like that where you can space the floor with shooters and attack gaps and different things like that. I mean, I think Georgia Tech deserves some credit for that. C.J. Bryce primarily played point guard, and he had 7. Offensively, it's really kind of a tricky game for Bryce. Led both teams with 24 points, 11 of 17 shooting from the field, 0 for 1 from 3. Had a team high, 11 rebounds, but he only had 2 assists and 7 turnovers. And that was the concerning point for me with him. Was he turned the ball over a lot, and he didn't really create for others while he was getting he was able to get his shot off, and at times they were inefficient shots. I mean, you figure 11 of 17 from the field and just 1 3-point attempt. I think he might have had a couple layups. So that's a lot of mid-range shooting, and credit him for knocking him down. But those are, a shot that you don't see a lot of anymore. And, wasn't really able to turn the corner and create for teammates. Braxton Beverly and Devin Daniels led the team with 5 assists each. But both of them struggled from the field. I mean, they had similar lines. Beverly was 4 of 13. Daniels was 4 of 13. I think shooting the basketball, you look at Pat Andre, he finished 3 of 6 from the field, 12 points, 3 of 5 from 3. But a stat on him that I thought was interesting was, in the first half, his 3 threes in the first 8 minutes of the game. And he didn't take, so I think he took his last 3, I think it was 12 minutes and 10 seconds left to go in the first half. He didn't take another shot till the final 30 seconds of the first half. State did not do a good job of finding him in transition, finding him on the secondary break. I mean, and that's because their ball handlers, Bryce and Daniels, they were driving to the rim with their head down. I mean, we're not looking to find shooters. And that's one of the things Markel Johnson excels at, is he always has his head up, looking for teammates. And so watching this game, I mean, there's a ton to like about NC State, even in the loss. I mean, you look at how the formula they have. They've got guys who can drive and get to the rim, and Daniels and Bryce, but you don't want them being your primary ball handlers or playmakers. But Manny Bates, I mean, he came off, he really good defensively, 5 blocks. He's a guy that's going to be able to screen and roll, and then you can space the floor with shooters like Beverly and Andre. I mean, the formula is there for Markel Johnson and NC State. And then you add in an offensive guy like DJ Funderburk. I mean, this team's going to be, I think this team has a chance to be really good. Yes, it's not ideal to start the season with this loss to Georgia Tech at home. But I personally believe if this team is able to hit its ceiling and stay relatively healthy, they shouldn't be worried about the bubble. I mean, I think this is a team that should be really, really good with the pieces they have. I mean, they were just missing, their best player and maybe their second or third best player in DJ Fundenberg. I mean, you take, for instance, Georgia Tech. I mean, you take off Jose Alvarado, which are akin to their version of Markell Johnson. You take off James Banks, which would be their version of DJ Fundenberg. Georgia Tech's not winning that game, and it's probably not going to overtime. I can say that for sure. It's definitely not going to overtime. I mean, those are two critical pieces for NC State. And State should have, I think they probably should have won the game. I mean, there was a scramble there at the end where Devin Daniels holds onto the ball. He probably gets fouled and goes to the free throw line. He passes it to Manny Bates. Maybe Manny catches it and dunks it. Bates drops the ball. Bates cannot catch the ball. He drops it. So, I mean, that enables Georgia Tech to get it back before James Banks is fouled. He give him credit. 6'10 center steps to the line, makes two free throws. So, I think for State, though, there's a lot to look forward to this year, but they have to get healthy and they have to stay healthy. I mean, this is not going to be a really, really deep, deep team. Losing Blake Harris, Darion Sebron, freshman, is going to academically redshirt. Thomas Allen is redshirting. So those are three scholarships you're not going to have available to you this year. So State needs to stay as healthy as possible, and it all starts with Markell Johnson. So 82-81, overtime home loss to NC State. State will be back in action this weekend. Will be interesting to see if Johnson returns. I think he's very, very close to returning. I think DJ Fundenberg is probably a couple of games out. And so State should be at full strength in a week or two. But yeah, that's the problem you have if you're NC State starting the year with a conference game. You know, I mean, it's tricky because you don't know what's going to happen in preseason. That's going to put you in a position to where you're not at full strength. And credit Georgia Tech for coming to Raleigh. They made more plays down the stretch, and they did enough to get the win. And so they deserve credit for that. We'll be back next week with another edition of the podcast. We're going to have a chance to talk about NC State's game against Clemson. Obviously, more Wolfpack basketball. I want to try and get a guest lined up, so that's my goal for next week, to have a guest back on the show. We will be looking to do that as well. Can't tell you who. I got a couple of guys in mind, so hopefully we can have a guest on. And we're going to just, talk more NC State football and basketball. So for this edition of the Tripartisan NC State Podcast, my name is James Henderson. Make sure you join me again next time.
You've been listening to the NC State Tripartisan Podcast with host from InsidePacSports.com, James Henderson. Don't forget, there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL SportsFan app. And you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. Thanks again for listening to the NC State Tripartisan Podcast.